The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Larry Fitzgerald is coming back to the Cardinals. He informed Steve Wilks of that last night. And so we will talk about that today with Larry Fitzgerald Sr. Fitz Jr. is not around, so Larry Fitzgerald's dad will be with us. Of course, Fitz Sr., 30-year Twin Cities, Minnesota sports media member, and the father of Larry Fitzgerald. We will talk with Fitz Sr. coming up at 10:35. Goody at the Movies will be with us this morning. And I saw Bill the other day. I saw Black Panther. My wife and I went, and I saw Bill and asked him before the movie started, what are you hearing? He said, I think it's terrific. I would tell you that Black Panther is better than terrific on many, many levels. There's a social angle to this. There is just a well-written script about it and some really cool cinematography, some really cool graphics that they mess with, just some stuff in there that visually it's really stimulating. It's 2 hours. And it starts tonight, but go see Black Panther. I don't get any money from it, but go see it. And Bill also wants to talk about a couple of other movies, Golden Exit and Early Man. What is on my mind? Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, protect what matters most. And that would be your family, your people are in your circle with your life insurance. Have you taken care of your life insurance? When's the last time you even thought about it? You get wiped out today, what happens? Okay. Protect what matters most. Log on for your free quote online at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. We appreciate their support. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. at 10:35. Tonight we have the ASU U of A game. We have the Diamondbacks going into day two of spring training. Tim Lincecum is working out. Remember Tim Lincecum, the Giants pitcher? He's attempting a comeback. I don't know if the Diamondbacks are going to be at the Tim Lincecum workout today. I would think that they would. Tim Lincecum really good in the day. So there's at least 10 teams. The Yankees are going to be there. The Dodgers are going to be there. I don't know if the Diamondbacks are going to be there. I hope someone asks General Manager Mike Hayes in that today when he meets later this morning, actually, with the media. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. The Suns won again last night. And you're going to say, well, no, they didn't. They lost. No, they win. Every time they lose, it's a win in my book. We're now at the All-Star break. They're well on their way to having a top three pick in the draft again. What I want to know is this really a bad thing at this point? You really should be in the Tankapalooza mode now. And if you haven't jumped on the Tankapalooza bandwagon in the last couple of weeks, then you're just not really being a true fan. Yeah, I'm going to go after you a little bit on this. If you're not in the Tankapalooza mode, then you're just content to make this 8-year drought of not making in the playoffs continue. If you're in Tankapalooza mode, you have to do the right thing and just keep losing. Don't win another game in these final 20 some odd games. It's hard to do because the players have a job to do. The players have a job to do. Last night, Elfrid Payton had a triple-double. So what? It's fine. It made the game competitive. So what? Are the Suns getting some answers about Elfrid Payton to be their point guard of the future rather than sitting there looking at Trae Young over the summer if they're in that position? Actually, if they're in the position of Trae Young, then they haven't tanked correctly. They need to be in the position of one of two players. One's last name is Bagley, and the other's name is Ayton, and that's it. There's nobody else. You can talk about the players from overseas all you want, greatest players come out of overseas, and there's one of them again this year. But my gosh, at some point, marketing the product has to go into the equation, too, along with the talent. There really is not that much to differentiate. They've got to be in the Ayton sweepstakes or the Bagley sweepstakes, whatever camp you are in on that. But are they improving under Jay Triano? I think that's a very fair question to ask. So there's a bunch going on here locally. There's always stuff going on in our market, but today I'm looking down. The ASU U of A game tonight, Bobby Hurley has never beaten the U of A. It's 0-5 right now. You don't want that to start becoming crooked numbers. But it's already there to a certain extent. 5's crooked. 6 is a little circular. 7's pretty crooked. You don't want it to become double digits. At some point, you want to break through. And yet, I feel as though U of A is going to show up tonight and beat ASU. I just think they're going to. Eric, where are you at on tonight's game? You have a feel? You're going.
I do. I do have a feel. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game, and I agree.
Really?
I think U of A is going to beat them. But I expect a lot of points since the Sun Devils lead the Pac-12 in scoring, and U of A is not far behind at third. I believe they're third, and they're both averaging over 80 points a game.
So. And their defenses are giving up points.
Their defenses are definitely giving up points.
So you know what I've noticed about Ayton in these last few games is teams are starting to go at him. Like the UCLA game, they went at him. And I understand UCLA has some size.
As did Washington.
Yeah, they went right at him. And so Rebello White, when we were in Tucson, you didn't go, Jordan and I went. They didn't go at him immediately. So he just kind of stood back there and blocked everything that came along. And he had, I think, 30 and 15 or some just ridiculous numbers.
ASU just needs to be careful because they don't have a lot of bigs when it comes to front court depth. So,
well, you have Rebello White, five fouls. You have Daquan Lake, five fouls. And you have Scheibel with five fouls, right?
Yeah.
There's 15 fouls.
Right. But I'm just saying that they need to be careful with Ayton. Because if you go at him,
yeah,
and you get a block shot, which leads to transition baskets, that's right. What U of A feeds off of.
Right.
So.
No, I understand that, but if you don't go at him at all, see, like to me, I was on the Mickey Mitchell bandwagon back in December when he first came on. It was like, okay, I like this player. And he really hasn't done much here in conference play. And I think he could be a factor. He's not afraid to go at guys. Scheibel likes to stand outside. He's the lefty. You know, he likes to shoot from way downtown. He's not going to go inside. He's not physically intimidating, I don't believe, to Ayton. Not that many people are. Rebello White, his hands, everything that goes inside of Rebello White clanks. Just gotta grab onto the ball there, son.
Well, and what you talked about yesterday with Matt Muehlbach is if U of A actually decides to get the ball inside to Ayton consistently, like every time down the floor
right.
He touches it, that's bad news for ASU because that's just going to lead to that's either going to lead to a lot of points for Ayton or ASU having to collapse down, which leaves their shooters open on the perimeter, and you don't want to do that.
I'm interested to see if Alex Barcelo plays tonight. So Alex, of course, those of you that watch the show through the years, you know we've done a lot on the Barcelo family because they are very, very talented. And, yeah, I did coach the oldest one, Julia, and she's back at Colgate. Alex hasn't played much this year. He hurt his ankle early in the season. I thought that when he first started out this year that we would see him in the rotation. And that hasn't happened. But, you know, is Sean Miller from a point of confidence tonight? If you're trying to build up a player like Alex Barcelo and you're trying to lengthen your bench, Matt Muehlbach brought this up yesterday on the show. Matt talked about, because I asked about Alex specifically, why he's not getting a lot of minutes. And when Alkins plays, they win. When Alkins doesn't, they lose. And Matt said, you know, I've not done a U of A game here in a few weeks. I'm really not sure, so on and so forth. But it goes back to they've got to have somebody behind Alkins. And, you know, Alex came there with a chance. He could have gone to Stanford. He could have gone to a lot of places. And instead he chose to go to the U of A. And he's having a tough freshman year. There's no sugarcoating on this. There's no other way to put it. But if you're Sean Miller with a couple weeks to go in the regular season and you're trying to lengthen out your bench a little bit and give your team a spark rather than just relying on six, seven guys, maybe at tops, is this a night where you turn to Alex Barcelo and said, you know, we're back here. You're ready to play. Your ankle's healed. Let's get your confidence up and let's get you out on the court. I'm interested to see if Alex plays tonight in meaningful minutes, not if it's a blowout one way or another. I think there's this whole storyline going on between Sean Miller and Bobby Hurley and how they're comparable to one another. I'm looking beyond that stuff. I'm looking at Arizona State's program and how Arizona State is trying to become a national brand, a national program. They are not there yet. Bobby Hurley came from a national brand, a national program like Duke. So Bobby knows when the respect level is there for a given program. Bobby knows. It's right down to little things. Like tonight, you know, tonight, how are the little things handled in a game of this magnitude? It's an ESPN game. There is no Bill Walton with Dave Pasch. It is Dave Pasch and Fran Fraschilla tonight. Nothing against Fran. I'd like to hear Bill tonight do it. I'm on the Bill wagon. Many of you are not. But it's little things like when ASU was down in Tucson for the game earlier this year, it just felt like it's Washington State that's here tonight, and we're going to mop the floor, right down to how the starting lineups were introduced. So I'm just looking at little things tonight, stuff that has nothing at all to do with the score, but stuff that I'm just kind of looking around like, okay, how's U of A handle being here in Tempe? How does that go? So it'll be interesting tonight. There's a lot around this game that has nothing to do with the final score, but just is Arizona State actually closing the gap on Arizona? And it's not by just winning tonight's game. It's not. If you're an Arizona fan, and tonight there'll be, what do you think, Eric, 60-40 red-blue? I know they'll make the student section for ASU a big part of it.
That seems about right.
But it'll still be more U of A fans than ASU fans there tonight.
It's a sellout. It's going to be loud. There will be lots of U of A fans.
You have a seat, though, right? I heard it's hard to get seats tonight.
Well, I have a media seat.
You have a media seat. You could sell it.
Media representative. I would never do that.
I'm not going tonight. I went to the first one. I'm going to watch tonight because you get to go, and we'll have some photographer there, and we'll put some slideshows up and all that stuff on the website at sports360az.com. I'm going to switch gears over to the Diamondbacks after this timeout and go a little bit deeper on J.D. Martinez. We will have Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us coming up at 10:35. Fitz last night telling Steve Wilks, I am coming back, I am playing next year, and if you think that this is a big shock or a big surprise, well, let's just say it's not. Let's just leave it at that. And a little bit more on the Suns, because I do believe there are things that you should be looking at with them. And then Goody at the Movies about Black Panthers. We have a busy show. Good show today. Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We also partner with Fox Sports Arizona, our television show, Brad Sismat Football AZ, Haley in the chair, aired this week. And, of course, we appreciate the partnership with them. Jordan is going to host next week, which will be good for him, Jordan Hamm. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. in about 15 minutes on his son returning to the Cardinals for another year. All right, Diamondbacks. Spring training is open. All the hope, all the buildup, all the this, all the that. We cannot wait because it's a team that was good last year. It's a team that people followed. It stinks when it's spring, when spring is sprung and your baseball team is not good at all. It means you've got a long 6 months ahead of you. And if your football team is not good at all, it means you have a long year in front of you. Fortunately, here in our market, the baseball team is good. The football team is good. The college football teams in our state are good. The hockey team is not good. The basketball team is really not good. I think the hockey team is making some progress. The basketball team can say they're making progress. They just keep losing, they're making progress. All that's the buildup to the Diamondbacks. So yesterday, Torrey Lovello met with the media and talked about his team. Eric, this was not the typical, because you were there. I was not. I was running around doing things. Had an interview yesterday that I had to get to. Torrey Lovello did not say, we are not going to be good this year. We're going to lose by 30 games. He didn't use the words like challenging season ahead of us.
He did not.
He didn't say, we have no starting pitching. I have no idea who our closer is going to be, and we're going to blow this year. He didn't say any of that,
no,
right?
No, he talked about how there's eternal optimism.
Eternal optimism.
Well, because the Diamondbacks return all of their starting pitching, which was a strength of the team last year.
Right.
And everyone is relatively healthy going into spring. And there are only a couple players with, you know, this usual visa issues, you know, getting to spring training a bit late. Mm-hmm. But it's not anything that's going to complicate things down the road. So on a day, Brad, where pitchers and catchers reported it was cold, wet, rainy.
Awesome.
At Salt River Fields. Just the antithesis of the weather that we've been having here for the last, what, 3-4 weeks?
Yep.
But it was good to have baseball back, and Torrey Lovello did not back down from any of the expectations. Said, you know, we expect to win. We want to prove that last year was not just a flash in the pan, and we think we have the team that can do it.
Do you like hearing him speak? I do.
I do.
It had nothing to do with Chip. It had nothing with Gibby. You know, you knew Gibby had some medical issues going on towards the end, and it was just hard. Managers can sometimes just sit there and talk in circles and not say much of anything. I actually feel like when I hear Torrey Lovello speak, he is talking and giving me something. He's not giving false bravado like a lot of coaches do. We're going to be great when you know, no, we're going to blow. And
oh, and the Diamondbacks have had those years where, I mean, even like you said, before camp is even officially started, there are tempered expectations going into the year. And to be honest, Brad, I mean, the Giants got much better this offseason. The Dodgers are still...
On paper.
Yeah. And the Dodgers are still the Dodgers. Yep. So it's not going to be easy. But, you know, they did win 93 games last year. They made it to the playoffs, and that's something you can definitely build on.
What was the highlight from your point of view of Torrey talking yesterday?
It had to have been the way Cam Cox, reporter over at Channel 12.
Does a good job, Cam Cox.
Does a really good job. Yep. Sort of strategically, journalistically ask him about a certain free agent in a way that
JD Martinez
in a way that made most of the media room laugh. I'm going to play here. Okay?
All right, go for it.
Is it any coincidence you guys left one locker open between the numbers 27 and 30?
You guys pay attention, huh?
Y'all purposely leave a locker open for number 28? just curious. I don't even know if you can comment.
You can report that. I'm not going to report that.
I'm just curious. There's 27, and then it skips a number.
Hey, you guys can go film that and let them know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think 28, 29 are numbers that are available. So I don't know.
Is it weird not seeing him here?
It is. You know, I felt like he was a great part of our team last year. I mean, obviously, offensively, what he did for us, everyone knows about. But in the clubhouse, what he brought, the type of teammate he was, and just the fun we had with him on our team. So, like I said, there's an open locker. You guys can read into that if you want to. I just think it's an open space right now.
JD was a huge part of our ball club last year. And I know that there's 30 teams that are available to him. And I'll leave it at that. I don't know anything else. I just know that he was a main reason why we performed the way we did last year down the stretch.
That was good. No, I like that. You got to get him laughing about it a little bit. Look, we've been in that spot, both of us, where guys will bristle, right? They won't have that sense of humor. And it's like, dude, we all know this is the 900-pound elephant in the room. So, no, that was good, Eric. I like that. Today, Zach Greinke is going to talk at 11:15 this morning. He's not going to talk here. He's going to talk over at the Diamondbacks facility. And he's going to get asked questions about his future and the fact that they tried to trade him. I'm anticipating that. I would hope that somebody would please not just say, boy, isn't it great to be back here? You know, who, what, where, when, why, how? It's not that hard. I'm not anticipating Zach Greinke talking at all about anything of depth today other than he's back here and what did he do in the off season. It is fair game because they did try to move him to Texas. Are you looking around at your situation here and wondering if you're going to be here long term? And he'll say something along the lines of, well, it's part of the job. You could always get traded, so on and so forth. That's why the Lincecum thing to me is interesting today. If, in fact, they are one of the teams that watches Lincecum, then it just tells me, you know, they're in the market looking for a veteran starting pitcher. This management group, though, Hazen doesn't strike me, and I could be wrong on this. You know, he did it with Fernando Rodney. He took him off the scrap heap and brought him in, and he was really good, and then he left. But when it comes to a starting pitcher, and you go up and down their rotation, what they have and what they have to come, and you have some guys to me that are, they're just interesting. Braden Shipley is interesting to me. He's just an interesting guy within this organization. What are the long-term ramifications for a guy like Braden Shipley within this organization? I've said this many times. I believe Robbie Ray is a top-of-the-line rotation guy. So trading Greinke, I'm not going to sit here and lose sleep over it. Yeah, that's 15 to 18 wins, but we saw what happened in the postseason. And more importantly, you've got to adjust your payroll. You just have to. From a business standpoint, they've got to get their payroll under control. So, you know, today and the J.D. Martinez thing, yesterday I spoke how it's a good day. Yesterday was a good day that J.D. Martinez was still sitting out there. Today I'm sitting there saying it's a good thing he's still sitting out there, but is he just still sitting out there on day two of camp? And this is pitchers and catchers. Position players don't have to be here yet, yet there are position players that are already there. Brandon Drury is already there. He's already there taking batting practice this morning. There's other position players that are already there. But if this thing drags into next week, I do think you've got to talk about this in terms of days and numbers of days. You can't just sit there and say, well, we hope JD comes here. If you're sitting there a week from now, JD Martinez, and he hasn't said, I'm coming to Arizona, to me it's pretty obvious he's just waiting for Boston up their offer. Or if it's the Diamondbacks to up it and then take it back to Boston. At some point, you've got to be, in the Diamondbacks case, you've got to draw a line in the sand, don't you? Or do you sit here for another week and just play the ping pong game back and forth? There's not a better player out there than J.D. Martinez, but if he's simply going to use you, if he really truly likes it here, as people whose opinions I trust, and he really truly likes the smaller lifestyle, then just tell your agent, this is it. I want to get in and I want to go to Arizona. Let's just go do a one-year deal. There is the security, obviously, of him leaving money on the table, of him not going out and having a great year in Boston saying, we're going to pay you 4 or 5 years, we're going to pay you $25 million a year, and he will be set, and his families will be set for years to come. I get that. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is on the other side. Fitz Jr. telling Steve Wilks last night that he is returning to the team. So Larry Fitzgerald is coming back. We'll talk with Larry Fitzgerald Sr. next. And then, Goody at the Movies, Black Panther starts tonight. Looking forward to that conversation as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. Welcome back. Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, airs 16 times per week. Appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona and also AZ Central. Plenty of content up on the website, sports360az.com. Obviously, the big news, Larry Fitzgerald coming back for another season, informing Steve Wilks of that decision last night. To give us a little bit further depth now on Larry Fitzgerald coming back to the Cardinals would be Larry Fitzgerald Sr., 30-year Twin Cities, Minnesota sports media member, and of course, the father of Larry Fitzgerald. We have had Fitz Sr. on the show many, many times. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How you been?
I've been good, sir. Let's talk about this decision. You're not surprised, or are you?
No, I'm not surprised. He's been thinking about it. There's no doubt about that since the end of the season. And we went through the Super Bowl in the Twin Cities, and he was there, had a good time, and worked for Westwood One doing all of his things and then working for the sponsors that he's connected with. And so I think that maybe lit the fire a little bit more in his resolve to get to where, he was going to make that clear to the Arizona Cardinals and this community that he's going to continue his career. So I'm happy for him, and I'm glad that he made the decision while I'm in town. I've been here the last couple of days following up on, in fact, I'm in the doctor's office right now dealing with a follow-up appointment from my heart surgery.
Yeah, how are you doing, by the way? And I should have asked you that
doing
off the
well.
Top, but how are you?
Doing good. Getting used to the new lifestyle of getting by with, fewer calories, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a good thing. I'm really excited about doing things the right way and recognizing that a valve is a big part of your heart.
That's good stuff. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us. Take me back then. Did you have conversation with your son about the pros and cons of returning here in the last couple of weeks?
We basically talk about life and about family and about commitment to where he's at right now,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. We never really got into being specifically targeting on this season and playing again and continuing it. We just left it open from the standpoint of just what he's done. I just let him know what I thought he's achieved and how proud I am of what he's been able to do and how well he continues to be able to be blessed with his health. And so from that mindset, I think he has a fresh mindset of where he is with his career and where he wants to go with it. He still wants to win a world championship, and mm-hmm. he knows that it's not necessarily in his hands, but he believes in what the Arizona Cardinals are doing, the directions that they're headed in towards making that a possibility.
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us on Larry Fitzgerald returning to the Cardinals. And to that end, I've had a number of people already reach out to me saying, wow, how could he return to Arizona not knowing the quarterback situation? A, I think somewhere along the way he's been filled in as to what their plans are. That's just my own thought. B, if you could address that side of it, the quarterback situation being so unsettled, and why that didn't really seem to be a matter to him.
Well, you've covered his entire career, and I've he's my son, so I've watched him from the time he's been born. He plays with whoever his teammates are.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, since he's been with the Cardinals, they've gone through a number of quarterbacks. But the quarterback that he will have with the Cardinals when they decide who that quarterback is going to be is who he's willing to work with. I mean, that's sort of the mindset that he's taken. It's a team game. It's a game that he fully understands and realizes that that it's a business, and mm-hmm. there's a business that he really has no control over, but he's willing to do his part from a commitment standpoint to the organization, and I think that's what that statement is.
Before I let you go, and I know you're at the doctor's office, so if they come in and you've got to go, just tell me, and we'll cut you loose. But does he have a future in golf after what you saw at Pebble Beach recently?
I think he does. I think, you know, you and I both know golf is a very, very tough game, and Larry knows it all too well, and I understand, you know, he has really bitten the bug. I remember from the days back in the Twin Cities when I got bit by the game and just couldn't practice enough to try to get myself in a position to be able to play and move forward with it, that you got to be really committed to it. You got to try to understand it. And the game is ever changing in terms of equipment and the physicality and the training and all that. So, yeah, I think he's got a great future in it because he's really taken to it. He's extremely athletic,
mm-hmm.
and he's powerful. And if he can find a way to, you know, do what most golfers can't do, and that is to control that driver, he's got a great future. But he's been blessed with a tremendous pair of hands.
Yep.
And when you've got great hands in golf, you can do a lot of things from within 100 yards with wedges and chipping and pitching. And that was sort of my specialty, and that's what I taught him first. And I think he's got a future if he desires to want to continue to play. And, you know, he's been here with Arizona now for 14 years, and you guys got more golf courses than you can shake a stick at out here. So he just loves it. He's just enjoys the game and the competition of being able to go out there and try and make pars and birdies.
Yeah, I walked with him at 6, 7, and 8 during TPC a couple of weeks ago at Waste Management. I didn't go with him to 16 because I knew that would just be crazy stuff. But to see his mental side of it where he's playing each shot and walking through and asking questions, it was really impressive. What other sport could he have done? Could he have done basketball? Like LeBron decided to focus on basketball rather than football. And everybody talked about LeBron as you should see him as a football player. Could Larry have done basketball if he decided to go that route professionally?
Yes.
Professionally.
I think he could have.
Yeah.
I think he could have. You know, he's, he had to play because he's so big, center and forward all the time. And you know, his size would probably put him somewhere in a guard position. But I think if he chose basketball, he would have had a chance because he could definitely play. He was very talented. He was very committed, a hard worker, and did the little things. And when you do that, particularly on the defensive end in basketball, it can carry you a long way.
Yeah. Your voice sounds good and strong, and I know you went through the health scare, and it's good to hear your voice, and appreciate your time today. Thank you.
It's a treat being with you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm excited for Larry continuing his career with the Arizona Cardinals.
There's Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us. We appreciate his time there at the doctor's office today. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, our partnership with AZ Central means Goody at the Movies. Very much looking forward to Goody at the Movies and Black Panther. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, at least for today and tonight, it is time to get your attention ready for tonight as well, although I don't think you'll be able to find a ticket to Black Panther anywhere. I think, was it three of my family members are going tonight to premieres of it? I saw Bill at a screening on Monday, and he was more excited. No, it was Tuesday. Screening Tuesday afternoon, where Bill was more excited for this movie. I asked him, is this any good? Oh, it's great from what I've heard. And it exceeded my expectations. Here's Goody at the Movies, but I'll let Bill, because he's the expert, I'm just merely the fan, on Black Panther and how good, how effective this movie was.
It's terrific. I exceeded my expectations as well. I knew that there, for whatever reason, we were like the last market to screen this movie, it seems like. I think everybody else had seen it already. And I don't really read other people's reviews or anything, but you certainly, you know, you look on Rotten Tomatoes and it's got like a 98% positive score or whatever, you know, and you can't help but think, oh, well, maybe it's good. I hope it's good. And actually, you know, I hope they're all good. But, you know, you worry, can it live up to the hype? And I think it did, at least, if not more. I think that it has a lot of... It's got the weight of a lot of historical import on it. I mean, it's not the first black superhero, but it's the first big, huge budget Marvel type one.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, the director's black. He and the other writer are black. A lot of the people, you know, the cinematographer is a woman. And you say that, you know, so what? And I've already, you know, I hear a lot of this. So what? All that matters is if it's good. Well, you know what? It is good. and you know what? That stuff does matter, because I don't know any other way to say this. This movie is infused with black culture, and it never backed away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to another person after that screening, and what's kind of nice is they don't back away from it. You don't ever see a lot of culture on the screen. You see a lot of it here. But all that said, you also see a really entertaining superhero movie. And you also see a movie that talks about what we're talking about now. You know, who are we as a country? Who... You know, this sounds ridiculous to talk about in a superhero movie, but Wakanda, the fictional, you know, kingdom that Black Panther's the king of, they have to ask themselves those questions. Who do we let in? What do we let out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is our role in the world? And their role is a lot more complicated than it seems at first. I just thought, you know, I thought it did a good job on all those fronts.
It also opened up some discussion with people that, like my wife asked me and some of her friends who have not seen it yet, there's a scene at the front end where an asteroid hits the planet, right? And so from that, is that where Thor's hammer comes from and some of these other parts that they're trying to fill in the gaps on? And I'm like, wow, you guys are way into this a lot further than I'll ever be. Did you think that too as you were watching it?
No, I wasn't thinking about Thor. And I'm told that it's vibranium is what this kingdom is built on. It's this super metal. It's like the hardest. All that anybody knows about it is in the rest of the world is that it's the hardest material known to man. But it also has these incredible properties. It can do all this stuff. I am told that it's what Captain America's shield is made of.
Yes. See, my wife told me the same thing. Right. So it's all. This is all going to lead back to how they all got their pieces and their parts.
Now, I don't know about Thor's hammer, and I always thought that was from wherever it is he's from. But I don't know that. And I don't care. And well, here's the thing about this movie, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say this.
Yeah.
All these Marvel movies have been connected in one way or the other, and there's a little part of you that keeps thinking, oh, when is Tony Stark going to show up and buy all the vibranium or buy out the bad, you know, or when is Captain America going to come help him fight? That doesn't happen. This story is its own story. And soon enough, in May, he's going to hook up with all the other Avengers again, as he did in Captain America Civil War. And that's fine, and that's great, and good for him. You know, I mean, that is a check that is going to put his kids through college, you know. But but so is this one, by the way. But I thought it was great that they let it stand alone. They let this story be its own story. And this is a story, again, maybe inclusion doesn't matter to some people, but I tell you what, to the people who are finally being included, yes, it matters a lot.
Yeah, no, the social importance of this movie, it sounds like, what are you guys talking about, social importance? No, this is an industry that finally has a superhero that young children can look at and say, that is the same skin color as me. And that's kind of important.
Exactly.
You know, and there's
the
nothing wrong with talking
with
about
Wonder
that.
Wonder Woman, when you,
yes,
you see,
yes,
little girls go up to the woman that played Wonder Woman and cry and hug her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that what happens, we're both, you know, white men who, I'm not sorry about that. I mean, I'm not,
me either.
There's nothing I can do about that. You know, that's just who I am. But I think that sometimes white men forget what they have. And when you see people who haven't had something finally get it, it's sort of a reminder.
Okay, there's also a scene in here, and I'm not going to give it away, but this movie had a little bit of Tron in it. It also had a little bit of James Bond in it. There's one scene
had
in particular.
A lot of James Bond. Had,
yeah,
a lot of James Bond.
Yeah, there's a lot of James Bond in this movie, which, you know, you know where I'm at on Bond, but I thought that was kind of funny, too, the way that it was written. And there is some humor in this movie. There were some moments where there were belly laughs within the screening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, the thing is, it is a superhero movie. And it's, you know, it's not like the Nelson Mandela story or something like that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's a superhero movie, but I think what it does when we talk about the social impact of it and the importance of it, it's kind of like that spoonful of sugar, you know? I mean, you're absorbing it and you don't even realize it in the moment sometimes. Sometimes you do. One of the things about Wakanda, this fictional place, is because of the vibranium, it's like super technologically advanced. But at the same time, it still honors the tribal past,
mm-hmm,
of the people who live there. And they've done it. They haven't stamped one out at the expense of the other. And I think that was kind of interesting, too.
All right, let's move on because we both love this one. Golden. Last week, you just killed everything in sight. This week, we're just gushing. Golden Exit. Is this any good?
Yeah, it is. And boy, it sounds like the kind of movie you would run away from, that any sane person would run from. It's about a bunch of whiny people living in Brooklyn who basically whine for an hour and a half. But this filmmaker, Alex Perry Ross, he makes these movies. He made one called Listen Up, Philip a couple years ago. It wasn't similar in story, but it was kind of similar in tone. Somehow he makes it compelling. And there's a lot of laughs in it. This woman comes from Australia, and Adam Horowitz, who is one of the Beastie Boys, is now sort of aged into being this kind of, like, you know, older New York guy who hangs out, and he plays an archivist, and he and all these other people's lives are upended when this young woman moves from Australia. And, you know, sometimes you want to shake them by the collar and say, look where you live, look what you do, look at your life. But, you know, can't you get out of your own way? But at the same time, it's pretty entertaining. I liked it.
All right, we'll go from that one, because we took so much time on Black Panther, to our last movie, and that is Early Man. Give me a thought on this one.
The great Nick Park. He's an animator who did The Wrong Way, The Wrong Trousers, and Grand Day Out. He created Wallace and Gromit. He does,
yep,
the claymation sort of stop motion stuff. And this is a story of, it's actually has a sports tie, a big soccer match between the Stone Age people and the Bronze Age people. And you're actually rooting for the Stone Age people because of the Bronze. But it's not as great as Wallace and Gromit. It's not as great as The Wrong Trousers or in The Curse of the Were-Rabbit or anything. Nick Park has 4 Oscars. I mean, he no slouch. And I talked to him. He's really unassuming, quiet, sort of brilliant guy. But it's fun. It's not as good as those, but it's still pretty good.
I heard somebody close to this movie passed away recently. Did you hear this?
Oh, no.
No, yeah. I only know this because my movie daughter, my oldest daughter, is a movie fan, and she said, yeah, this... I was just in passing. He said, yeah, this movie is looks fun, but somebody just passed away that was tied to the movie. And I don't know. I hadn't read or heard anything, but I just thought I'd run it by you. Before we get out of here, and I know this is going to be hard for you to do in a minute, but on your Twitter timeline, you have addressed the media's role in the Florida shooting from yesterday. I didn't want to start with this and be too heavy, but if you've got some thoughts in you about what the role of media should be in the story from yesterday and what I'm seeing today on the sports end of things, guys like Steve Kerr and Steve Nash being very, very vocal on gun control and how screwed up our country is by putting a wall in place rather than taking guns away. They're clearly expressing their frustration over what happened yesterday. From your end.
Well, yeah, I read a whole column about it. I think that from a media perspective, and this is not an argument for or against the Second Amendment. I mean, I think it's insane. Who needs a gun like that unless you're a soldier? I think that's just common sense. But I think from a media perspective, it's becoming more difficult to be impactful, to do our jobs, because these things, this is the 18th school shooting this year, and there have been 46 days in this year. Hmm. It's happening every third day. And the old adage is, man, dog bites man, no story. Man bites dog, story. But what if man bites dog every third day? Then is it, it loses its impact. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, not to be crass, but that's sort of where we're at. And do we care about it? Of course. I mean, the numbers alone are just horrifying. And we cover it. But I think what we have to do a better job of is just being relentless. And I think we need to put, John McCain got more money from the NRA than any other senator in the country. McSally got, I think, the third most from any House member. I think what we need to do, we don't make up people's minds for them, but what we can do is put all the information out there again and again and again. And if people don't like it, if people turn away from it, if people attack it, so be it. You know what? I mean, this isn't fake news. This is real news, and this is life or death news.
Well, and today I'm looking up on my screen, and everybody's doing Olympic stuff. On their morning shows, especially the Today Show and NBC, they're trying to weave this in. But I just don't care about gold medals. I don't. And I get it. You've paid a bunch of rights fees. But this story, I don't want to see anybody today from the Olympics. But there's these people in positions of power that say, yeah, we got all this money tied up in the Olympics. We got to address it, which you shouldn't do today. That's just me. I mean, it's a tough deal that we're in.
I wanted to get people to read my Black Panther review yesterday, but I didn't have the heart for it. Early in the day before this happened, I tweeted it out. But after that, it's like,
Right.
Just not today.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Hey, appreciate your stuff as always. Appreciate your time, too. Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks.
Here's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. All right. So tonight it's ASU against U of A. And we are not going to be here this weekend because it's a holiday weekend. We won't be here on Monday. It's a holiday. But we will have content up on the website. And as you see the stream, the TV show will be up there that Haley hosted this week on Fox Sports Arizona. That'll be up tomorrow. And plenty of content on the website at sports360az.com. Have a great day.